We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good Friday to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, it's not too shabby out there right now. 56 degrees, humidity's at 30. Winds are out of southeast at 12, gusting up to 15. Barometer's at 29.75. Solar radiation's at 330 WM2, for whatever that means. I'm just reading what I got in front of me, everybody. Just be calm. Anyway, doesn't look like it's going to be too bad today, but probably according to my timeline, don't bank on this or bet on it. Somewhere around 3 o'clock, the winds are going to start shifting, coming out of the west. And by dark 30, you think he was in a different world. She's going to come in pretty hardcore. Winds 33, 40 miles an hour tonight, and just almost as bad tomorrow. So anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here later on in the show. Well, before we get started on the grains and stuff like that, I was on social media last night. And some lady asked, they took the thread off. I figured it was going to because it got kind of ugly. There's a lady got on the Oklahoma cattle page and asked about, should a calf die when you get it home from a sale barn? Had a seizure or something. Just one of those things. Who knows what caused it? We'll never know. But anyway, this guy got on there and he pointed out, well, that's the only thing they take to sale barns. That's the reason why that happens. He said, if your calf was any good, you'd be keeping it and selling it as a butcher calf. Well, I got on there and I said, that's not true. And anyway, he said, well, enlighten me. So I enlightened him. And I was really nice about it. Usually me and social media gets me fired up. And I was kind of fired up because he was kind of downplaying all of our sale barns and the cattle that we take into the sale barns in our anywhere in our area, Oklahoma City, wherever. And so I enlightened him, saying that yeah, there's some coal cows that people take in that got hardware or something, but there's people there to buy those kind of cattle and take them to a different spot, and then there's people there to buy the good cattle, and there's way more, way, way, way more good cattle than bad cattle going to a sale barn. And so anyway, he come back with something, and he said something. Finally, I told him, you do your cattle the way you want to, and I'll do my cattle the way I want to. I raise butcher calves, and I take calves there to the sale barn after the off the mamas. You know, everybody does it different. Nobody's the same. But he was just insinuating that, the only thing that goes to sale barn is sick cattle. So some other gentleman from Oklahoma City got on there and he popped off. He said, man, there's almost 10,000 heads sold at Oklahoma City this week. And now I got on there, yeah, 4,000 or 5,000 at Woodward, a couple thousand here at Elk, and probably 1,000 at Hobart, and a couple thousand going to be at Clinton. He said, that's a lot of sick cattle. So anyway, it got to being sarcastic after that. But I just can't believe people out there honestly believe the only thing that goes to sale barns is sick cattle. That's not true. Never will be true. Yes, there's some cattle that go there that the vets tell you to take your cattle there. But they're not going to tell you to take your cattle there if it's been given this shot or whatever. But anyway, just kind of got under my, had a burr under my saddle over that comment last night. But I took up for all you cattlemen and ranchers last night, so don't you worry. Then on the flip side of that, I got 4 beef coming in to be processed Monday, and I had one left, and I got on to social media And boom, I sold out in minutes, and I'm still getting some requests. And so anyways, social media can either get you fired up or it can do you some good. But anyway, all four calves are now sold, all the meat sold. So anyway, there's going to be some happy people here in a couple of weeks when they pick their beef up. And I'm getting them from people buying from Oklahoma City. I notice our city folks are starting to buy cattle out in western Oklahoma, beef cattle, butcher cattle from our people out here. And I haven't preached on it this week, so always remember, buy local, get it processed local, and you'll be money ahead, and you'll be way happier with your meat. Just Nathan Bird just got a quarter beef here, and they're all excited. Julie told me, she said, it's just so nice to walk out there and pick what I want out of the freezer. And speaking of that, the Jimmy tip of the week. Oh, let me get it. I didn't get to harp on it yesterday because of Jimmy Emmons was in the studio, but on page 4 of the brand new Penny News that just come out yesterday morning at daybreak is the Jimmy's tip of the week. And when you bring home your beef you bought locally, be sure to put the most used beef packages on top, not in the bottom of your freezer. So don't put your hamburger meat on the bottom, because then you got to dig through all the other stuff. If you got a chest type, you got to stand up. It's a whole different ball game. Well, let's move on. Hard red winter wheat prices. All except soybeans, grain prices are way down today. Hard red winter wheat's at $7.09, corn's at $5.88, Milo at $5.86, soybeans at $13.03, oats is at $6.11, and cotton's up $1.19. I'm wondering if it's going to hit the $1.20 a pound deal. And for my old buddy Michael Oldham, palm oil is at $5,320 a ton. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading on signs of improving weather in South America. Rains this week favored parts of Brazil, the world's biggest exporter of soybeans. Precipitation is expected next week in the southern areas that may boost crop prospects after dry weather through the weekend. In Argentina, the weather is expected to remain dry through Saturday, but rains are forecast in the eastern part of Cordoba, Santa Fe, and North Buenos Aires state Sunday and Monday, according to Mr. Kenny. Rainfall next week to forecast to finally improve conditions in some growing areas after hot and dry weather this week. The USDA this week said now it expects Brazilian soybean production at 139 million tons, and that's down from the month earlier forecast of 144 million tons. So it's down 5 million tons. Argentina is now forecast to produce 46.5 million metric tons of soybeans, down from the December outlook of 49.5. Corn production in Brazil also was lower to 115 million metric tons, and that's down 3 million from the previous. Soybean futures for March delivery dropped 5¾ cents to $13.71 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost a dime to $408.80 a short ton, and soy oil fell 0.21 cents to 58.23 cents a pound. Wheat futures for March delivery lost 5¾ cents to $7.41 a bushel, while Kansas City futures were down 10¼ to $7.49.5 a bushel. Corn futures for March delivery rose 2½ cents to $5.90 a bushel. Well, export sales of grains and beans surged in the 7 days that ended on January 6. Corn sales last week totaled 457,700 metric tons. That's a lot of corn, up 79% week to week. That's still down, though, 59% from the prior four-week average. Mexico was the big buyer at 278,800 metric tons. Japan took 233,000 metric tons, and China bought 70,200 tons. Even Canada went in there and slid in there and got 27,000 tons. An unnamed country council cargoes totaling 216,300 tons. I was curious. I wonder if they cancel that after the ship's loaded or before. So anyway, exports for the week were reported at 1.01 million metric tons. That's up 3% from last week, or the week prior, sorry. Wheat sales last week came in at 264,400 metric tons, up noticeably from the week earlier, but down 20% from the average, according to the USDA. The Filipinos bought 50,000 metric tons. Mexico was in there at 42,300 tons. Algeria took 33,000 tons. Japan slid in there at 26,800 tons. And Jamaica, they bought 22,000 tons. The French West Indies mixed shipments of 11,500 tons. Exports for the week came in at 258,400 metric tons, up 23% week to week. Soybean sales surged 92% to 735,600 tons. That's still down 1% from the average. China purchased 301,800. Mexico took 189,000 tons. Egypt was in there at 175,000 tons. Indonesia, 33,900 from the U.S. supplies. That total would have been higher, but unknown countries canceled over 100,000 tons. Exports for the week, however, dropped 42% to 1.2 million metric tons. Well, winter storms have been issued in a large swath of the land stretching from North Dakota southeast into western Illinois, according to the National Weather Service. In North Dakota, snowfall is expected to range from 3 to 7 inches with wind gusts as high as 40 miles an hour. The winter storm warning in that area is on till tonight, 6 o'clock. In central Iowa, meanwhile, as much as 10 inches of snow may fall, with local amounts potentially higher. Blowing snow is expected to reduce visibility and travel will be difficult. Winds will be sustained from 15 to 25 miles an hour, with gusts up over 30 miles an hour. The winds combined with snow will yield very low visibilities at all times and produce pockets of blowing and drifting snow, particularly in open rural area, according to the National Weather Service. All right, we got that going. Hey, the text line is open. The KECO Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. Always welcome you guys' comments, and if it's readable for my listening audience, I will repeat it on the air. And got all kinds of stuff going on, as you can listen on KECO FM's Paragon app, or the Paragon app on your phone, free download. You can listen to it on there. You can always go to KECOFM.com to listen to any of the shows. I title them all. And so if you wanted to listen to something like Kent Watkins last week or something like that, you can go through there and you can look it up. And we are streaming live on Facebook. And I got some replies yesterday. And I got a compliment from a gentleman that works for the City Elk City yesterday. I called him on a quail habitat deal that we're working on around Elk City Lake, or going to be working on. Talked to him, and he was complimenting. He said, man, I listen to your show all the time. Oh, wait a minute. That reminds me. I have to brag. I really got to brag on this one. Hang on a second. Let me find it. Here we go. This morning, I got my first invitation as a media person to attend an event in Houston, Texas. I'm really excited that I got this invitation. I'm going to have to turn it down because we're right in the middle of heifers and cows calving. No way I'm going to be gone 3 days. But to Houston, Texas, and the organization that invited me as media was the National Cotton Council. That's a big pat on my back, Jimbo. Anyway, I play some of their stuff, and I'm all about cotton. I'm all about anything we do in our ag industry here in the our listening area in the Eastern Texas Panhandle and Western Oklahoma. But anyway, I'm stoked. I actually got an invitation. So anyway, I'm coming up in the media world, which they probably, when they meet me in person, they probably won't invite me back next week or next year. But anyway, that was a compliment to our show, and my show is not possible without our sponsors we have here and the people I interview that come on and make it interesting. And my listeners out there, I love you all. So anyway, thank you very much for all this, because something had to happen for them to actually invite me to the National Cotton Council deal in Houston, Texas. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, sorry about that. I was checking my pivot. We got a chip put down yesterday, a ton per acre underneath the pivot down by Granite, and I was checking to see how long I have. I got 2 hours and 37 minutes putting down 0.3 inch on it, so the wind doesn't cause everything to blow when it hits there after. It's going to be perfect timing. We did it right. Me and Daryl, we timed that just right. We'll have it all watered down, and then next week when it warms back up, I'll sock the water to it and get her soaked in the ground. Anyway, 57 degrees, wind still out of south, southeast at 12, gusting to 17. Have your Long Ranger coming up here shortly. And what else would I have going on? I got so much going on. Oh, for the next 10 days, 2 weeks, guys are going to have to listen to me on some resolutions for the year that every farmer and rancher should think about. So one of your cow-calf resolutions this year should be listen to a trusted source for information and stop believing everything you read on Dr. Google. So anyway, there's one resolution for today, and I'll have another for you Monday. I got all kinds of them. It's not a wish list. It's just a resolution that you should think about, and there's some really good ones. All of them are really good that I'm bringing up. All right, well, there's not much going on in the farming part of the deal right now. You know, lots of thinking going on. Fertilizer prices, soil condition, no rain, we're in a drought. Is my land going to blow? Is it not going to blow? Lots of things going on. But last year, 2021, I'm going to talk about some equipment now. Tractor and combine sales were in double digits in 2021. After 7 years of sluggish sales, the biggest growth leader in machinery sales in 2021 are the most expensive items on the farmer's iron shopping list. High horsepower tractors, four-wheel drive tractors, and combines. Even amidst supply chain shortages and other difficulties caused by the pandemic, nearly 360,000 total tractors and combines were sold from dealer lots in 2021. That's from dealers. Imagine how many were sold off the farm or at an auction. You probably get up there in the 500,000 total tractors and combine, if I was guessing right. According to the data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, AEM, looking at just sales in the United States, a total of 317,897 tractors and 6,272 combine harvesters found new homes in 2021. Sales of tractors over 100 horsepower shot up 24%. Four-wheel drive tractors increased 18%, while harvesters experienced a nearly a 25% boost from 2021 compared with the previous year. For 2021, the only market segment in the U.S. gaining less than 10% was sub-40 horsepower tractors, still seeing growth, though, of nearly 9%. Seeing gains in the double digits across North America year over year for both tractors and combine is great for equipment manufacturers, says Kurt Blade, Senior Vice President of the AEM. Sales gains were already over successful 2020 came despite the supply chain issues and workforce challenges that made 2021 a challenging year for manufacturers. Our industry is working hard to navigate through supply chain challenges to deliver equipment and parts to farmers as they approach the 2022 growing season. We're not in the clear yet. Don't take this as a sure sign pandemic woes are over. The Equipment Leasing and Finance Association, which represents the nearly $1 trillion equipment finance sector, forecast equipment shortages will continue in 2022 due to supply chain disruptions. The EFLA expects to see economic growth in trucks, oil and gas equipment, and materials handling equipment this year due to the high demand. Companies in the agriculture equipment, however, may continue to face familiar pandemic-related challenges. There you go. So anyway, I thought that was pretty cool, but I can tell you my son works for an equipment manufacturer, and they were told last week that they will have no more new equipment coming in for at least 90 more days, maybe longer, because of this stupid chip deal. And I found out a little more about that and understand it a little better now, but they're going to go ahead and manufacture the equipment, and then they got this place where they're going to set up 3,500 machines that they're building between now and then. And then when the chips come in, they've got these teams already set up that's going to run in there, put these chips in, fire the equipment up to see if everything's good, and then send them out to the dealers. But he's in the sales, so it's going to kind of suck for him because he's on a commission or gets part of it anyway. But yeah, they're out of equipment now, and they're not going to have any for 90 days. So on the flip side of that, I was asking him, why in the heck isn't somebody setting up this deal in the United States to manufacture these chips? Well, it's not that easy. These guys order these chips out 2 to 3 years in advance. Yeah, even with changes, and these chips are made from, what is it, lithium or whatever it is. And we have lithium in the United States, but of course, between the EPA and other people, the mining permits are backlogged. So what do? We got to buy this crap from China, but it takes up to 3 months to make a plate of chips for a certain machinery. So they go in there and they lay this out, make these plates, and then they get them done, It's a 3-month process just to make one set of chips. It's a slow process and very, you'd think we get back away from the chips. I guess not. Things probably wouldn't operate and be as nice without the chips. But, man, just to sit there on all your equipment and not move a machine for 90 days at least, that's just crazy. Anyway, so that was the deal on that. Well, when I come back, we're going to talk about cattle vaccines. And I got some stuff from the Oklahoma State University wants to put out there about some upcoming surveys for Oklahoma cow-calf producers. I'll be right back after this. But wait a minute. Hang on here. I got something else here right here. Let's do this before I go to break. So Congress returned to the Hill this week, and Mr. Langley, Reese Langley, he's vice president of the Washington operations for the National Cotton Council. He joined me, and he gave me an update on the agriculture-specific stuff going on in Washington. So listen to what he's got to say here.
This week, both the House and Senate return from their holiday break, and one of the pressing issues to focus on is federal government funding. The current continuing resolution expires on February the 18th, and so House and Senate leadership and the appropriations committees need to come to agreement on top-line spending levels to allow the committees to begin their work to put together the individual funding bills, including the agriculture appropriations bill, which will include a number of important priorities for the U.S. cotton industry, a number of programs that our industry members rely upon. So we're hopeful that work can be done and to meet the February 18th deadline. If not, we'll be looking at another, hopefully only a short-term continuing resolution, and can see a full-year appropriations measure enacted as soon as possible this year. In addition to that, it looks like efforts in the Senate to try to move forward on the Build Back Better proposal, which would include significant funding for USDA conservation programs focused on climate-smart agriculture. Those efforts seem to be paused at the moment because there's not enough consensus on how to move that package forward. And so the Senate is shifting its focus in the near term, but we still anticipate there will be ongoing efforts in the weeks ahead to try to get the Build Back Better proposal back on track and try to figure out a way to maybe slim down the size and cost of that and get something enacted later this year. So that's still a possibility. USDA made some announcements in regard to additional conservation program funding that would be focused primarily on addressing climate issues and focusing on climate smart agriculture practices, and specifically putting some funding into a pilot project in 11 states, including some cotton growing states, to help further incentivize the planting of cover crops and trying to increase the utilization of cover crops across row crop acres in the coming years.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 7th. 1,141 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 383 brought 214. 5 at 507 brought 176. 13 at 739 brought 132. 33 at 797 brought 142.50. 4 head of heifers at 471 brought 160.50. 6 at 519 brought 158.50. 19 at 544 brought 152. 7 at 659 brought 147.50. Butcher cows were 27 to 71. Butcher bulls 51 to 85. Bred cows 550 to 1185. Pairs brought 500 to 1275. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. 58 degrees, winds out of the south. They're slowly moving from the southeast to the south. Before you know it, here in a couple hours, it'll be out of the west, and you need to put your hair in a ponytail, or it's going to be blowing everywhere. So anyway, south, 14 miles an hour, gusting up to 17. Speaking of the new Penny News, you'll hear this paper rattling in the background. There's all kinds of auctions going on, all kinds of stuff going on. I'm going to just briefly go through here and tell you what's going on. There's a gun show this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday, from 9 to 5, 9 to 4 at the Civic Center in Elk City. They got everything you need. I always love gun shows, but I hate going to them because I always know I'm going to spend some money. There's lots of auctions going on. Got some from Heinz. We got there's just all kinds of stuff going on with the auctions. I did notice one in here that's going to be happening in Gary, and they got some. It's a state, and they got some good equipment in here. They got some. There's a 7330, and there's Kubota in there. That's a John Deere I mentioned. Nice looking feed truck, some good planter equipment, livestock equipment, all kinds of good stuff. If you're bored a week from tomorrow, it's January 22nd, it's going to be going on. Oh, wow, I got another picture in here. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. They got me all over the place going on in there, but all kinds of auctions going on. Over here on our Tradio, or on our Today in Ag show, all my sponsors in here, Hobart Stockyards, Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock, Agritech with Mr. Kent Watkins and SEI Agritech. And then we got Canucks and Irrigation, B&L, Red Angus, they're in there, Great Plains, First National Bank, Hobart Farm and Garden, and then, of course, the Farmers Union Co-op. And right out there at the top, for sale, ranch-raised beef, Corbin Cattle Company. Check it out. Man, there's all kinds of stuff. I wanted to read this to you from Jerry Nine. I look forward to reading this every Thursday when he gets there. So he said he saw there that there was a promotion said, try our 30-day fitness, then feel like the best version of yourself. And Jerry said, first of all, who can last 30 days? And second of all, who wants to be the best version of himself? So there you go. Anyway, famous Jerry Nine. All right, from the Cow-Calf Corner, Kelly Raptor of Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist. Two important cattle-related surveys will be launched by Oklahoma State University in late January, including the Oklahoma Cow-Calf Biosecurity Survey and the Oklahoma Beef Management and Marketing Survey. Not all producers will receive a survey, and if you do, you will only receive one of these surveys, not both. You may have already received a heads-up postcard, I didn't get one, dang it, as a potential survey participant in December or early January. If so, please keep an eye out for the mail survey, which will be coming from the Southern Plains Field Office of USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service in Oklahoma City. All right, on the Oklahoma Cow-Calf Biosecurity Survey, infectious disease are a constant threat for producers as well as for the national herd, the supply chain, and critically important international trade. Disease costs a producer money. Biosecurity seeks to prevent diseases before they occur and to limit the impact of an outbreak. Good biosecurity at its the most fundamental level is good animal husbandry. Many operations practice good biosecurity on a daily basis, but they may not refer to it as biosecurity. The purpose of the biosecurity survey is to learn more about the producer's biosecurity practices and why some biosecurity practices are more widely adopted than others. The biosecurity survey will help us index biosecurity practices by adoption rate, cost effectiveness, and applying it to cow-calf operations and barriers to the on-farm adoption. Ultimately, it will help us develop extension programming to educate producers and their teams, including veterinarians, on cost-effective biosecurity practices that can be implemented on-farm right now. This survey effort is funded by the USDA Animal Plant Health Inspection Services, Veterinarian Services, the National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Program. The OSU team is led by Dr. Amy Hagerman, Dr. Rosalind Biggs, Dr. Kelly Currier-Rapper, and Dr. Barry Whitworth, all OSU. They're all doctors from OSU. How's that? Anyway, on the Oklahoma Beef Management and Marketing Survey, also coming to selected producers' mailboxes in 2022 is the 2022 Oklahoma Beef Management Marketing Survey, a survey that you may have received before. This survey reoccurs approximately every 5 years and is commonly referred to as OSU Cow-Calf Survey. The Oklahoma Beef Management and Marketing Survey is a periodic effort to better understand the decisions you make regarding herd management, in particular calf management marketing. This information gives us insight into issues specific to you as part of Oklahoma's beef industry, helping us update current extension programs and develop new program efforts where needed so that we can better serve you. It also provides a continuing benchmark for comparison and adoption rates of various recommended management practices and other important producer decisions. This survey effort is also funded by the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture grant and is led by Dr. Kelly Currier-Rapper and Dr. Daryl Peel. If you have any questions when you get one of those, you may contact Dr. Rapper or Dr. Peel with their email addresses, which they're easy to find if you get on the OSU extension deal. They say we know this completing these surveys can be tedious, but please know that your input is valuable to us, they said, and helps us better assist. And these are important surveys. So if you guys get one of these, please fill them out. And they're already saying thank you if you do from the OSU Extension office. So anyway, if you get one of those, fill them out. Well, speaking of biosecurity and other things with cattle, vaccines for common viral cattle diseases such as respiratory infections or BVD come in two forms: killed vaccines and modified live vaccines. Killed vaccines don't contain any live material. They use a protein from the real virus to trigger an immune response. This response may be mild, and a second booster shot is required. Modified live vaccines, however, contain a version of the live virus and actually replicate it in the animal to mimic a real infection. A modified live vaccine usually gives a quicker, longer, and stronger response, says Lee Jones, veterinarian and beef cow reproductive specialist with the University of Georgia. It can also be mishandled. On rare occasions, may cause abortions in cows that were never vaccinated before. To know when and how to use each vaccine, he offers this background. Start healthy. Jones says not all animals respond to the same vaccine. It's kind of like humans and the COVID vaccines. Some respond great, some just okay, and some not at all. And that's why we recommend revaccination to catch the 20 or 30% that didn't respond to the first shot. Less than perfect vaccine response could be due to the overall health or nutrition status of your herd. Manufacturers test vaccines in ideal conditions on healthy animals. That's not necessarily the way things are on your ranch. Before a vaccine gets to you, it goes through a lengthy transportation, handling, and storage process. Stress impacts an animal's immune response. For instance, calves vaccinated at a sale barn can have a lower response than those vaccinated at home. Nutrition status also matters. Research shows good mineral supplementation improves vaccine response to up to 50%. When a vaccine triggers an immune response, it depletes some nutritional resources in the animal. For a vaccine to work the best, the nutrition needs to be high to start with. Here's the part two, the potential complications. Because modified live vaccines create such a strong and lasting immune response, they have advantages. However, they are not without potential problems. For instance, sometimes pregnant cows never previously vaccinated with a modified live vaccine will abort when vaccinating, perhaps because of a direct effect of the cow's reproductive tract. While most cows don't have any negative effects, it's best to avoid modified live vaccines in pregnant cows that have previously been vaccinated with it. He cautions that very highly. Further complicating this is the fact that there are reports of calves vaccinated with the modified live vaccine actually shedding the virus and infecting their mothers, possibly causing abortions. This is very rare, and it usually happens because the calves are in poor nutrition or health to start with. Calves in good condition usually do not shed the virus after the vaccination. Because of these complications, Jones supports a combination of modified live vaccines and kill vaccines for herd immunity. He says the risk of abortion is lower if a cow had the modified live vaccine at pre-breeding stage in life. This seems to be preconditioning her for the immune system for a good, safe response for revaccination later. Make sure replacement heifers are in good shape, then vaccinate them with two or three doses of a modified live vaccine before their first breeding season. He suggests that sets up for a good response to a kill vaccine as an annual booster. Any risk of abortion should be greatly reduced. Is this combination program good for the life of the cow? He said he doesn't honestly know. Everybody has some cows that stick around for a long productive life. We don't know anything about the lifetime immunity. What I do believe is that a foundation of a modified live vaccine early in life followed by a kill vaccine is a good program. So anyway, there you go. You're killed and you're modified vaccines. There's your little lesson for today. Anyway, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'll be back with your Long Ranger forecast.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, January the 11th, we sold 729 cow foals and calves. Thursday, January the 13th, we sold 5,013 calves and feeders for a total of 5,742 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 65 to 75, 50. 10 cows bring 41.5 to 59. Bulls bring 70 to 93. 3 to 4 year old bred cows, 1375 to 1625. With the 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 900 to 1575. 9 and older bred cows, 710 to 935. 2 day old pairs, 1150 to 1600. Steer calves, heifer calves, and feeders, extremely good market all the way through. 3 to 350 steers, 199 to 217. 4 to 450, 197 to 222, 5 to 550, 173 up to $2, 6 to 650, 158 to 170, 7 to 750, 158 to 161.5, 8 to 850, 145 to 159, 9 to 950, 146 to 153.10, 1,050 pound steers, 138 to 144.50, and 1050 to 1,100 pound steers, 137.50 to 144. On them steers weighing 4.5 that bring 220, that's $990. 5 weight steers at $2, $1,000. On our heifers, 12 heifers, 296 bring 192. 350 to 4 weights, 159 to 181. 5 to 550, 151 to 174. 6 to 650, 148 to 155.50. 7 to 750, 138 to 150. 8 to 850, 138 to 149.5. And 950 weight heifers, 133 to 134.50. Extremely good market, particularly where it's dry. for this Tuesday, we got 31 bred cows. They're mostly 9 and older. We got 40 other bred cows and pairs more. By sale time, we'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Remember, we got 14 feeder buyers every week. I work 100% for the seller, helping you make more money. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, Ed Carter, Circle M Animal Hospital. If you're watching, look at this bill on this cap I'm wearing today. It used to be flat like you wear yours back on the block. Look at that. And that looks way more farmer rancher-like. So anyway, get you some of that, Ed. Anyway, the Long Ranger forecast brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. What do we got? We got weather, fire weather warning till 7 p.m. tonight. That should be tomorrow night. But anyway, wind advisory till 5 p.m. tomorrow night. If the wind's blowing tomorrow, watch out on the wind part, the fire part. Just don't be lighting fires up today, tonight, tomorrow. Just be cool. Be calm. You can do it Monday or Sunday. You can even do it Sunday if you want to. But anyway, 60 degrees, humidity's 26. The winds are out of the south at 11, gusting up to 15. Mostly cloudy today with a high around 63. Later on this afternoon, the wind shifts. And tonight, 22 degrees with north winds, 33 to 40, gusting up to 50. So you're going to hear the shutters rattling tonight. Tomorrow, windy again, 32 to 37, when wind gusts 45 to 50 out of the north. Tomorrow night, the wind starts to die off sometime in the night. Remember, tomorrow is the last day of deer season, legal deer season in Oklahoma. So it looks like I'm either going tonight or I'm going tomorrow. Pick my choice. I need one more doe for the freezer. 52 Sunday. Monday, which is a holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 58, and Tuesday, 62. Looks like a great week coming back up next week. So we're just going to get these blasts on the cold airs just to run your weekend. Anyway, I got to go to weather for tomorrow. Got to announce the Southwestern Oklahoma Pick Show Series that's happening. They had one at Elk City last weekend. Tomorrow's Weatherford. Next weekend's at Hobart. I'm excited. I have actually never been to Weatherford or Hobart's barns that I remember of. So anyway, I'm excited I get to go there and watch those kids. Today at the Cattle Congress, the Cattlemen's Congress in Oklahoma City, they're doing prospect cattle up there today. And I've got a big rundown coming up next week of who won what and where they're from is what I'm hoping to get from those guys at the Cattlemen's Congress. It's a huge success. Seen where one of the Angus bulls at one of the sales, the Angus Black Angus sale, brought $175,000. So somebody had a good one. Anyway, but one of my buddies this morning on the phone said, they've had some bulls bringing $800,000-$900,000 this year or last year already, Jimmy. So I was like, all right, $175,000 is still a bunch of money, no matter how you look at it. And I got one more thing. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. I'll go hunt during the day because I know I can't see at night. Not unless you got red lens. You didn't think about that, did you? Somebody said anyway. I appreciate McGee yesterday telling me where Hell's Corner is because it's been bothering me and a few people that work here and some other people I know where's Hell's Corner at because we was thinking it was south of Altus. It's south of El Dorado. And now my next question is, why is it called Hell's Corner? So, Mr. McGee, when you get time, shoot me a text. If I catch you listening to the show, where you been for the last month anyway? Anyway, so we'll go with that. And then here's some news out of the fertilizer industry. But before I get to that, I forgot. Most of you people that are on Rural Electric outside on their with our electric co-ops of Oklahoma, you get this magazine called Oklahoma Living. Well, if you go to page 12, now I'm talking to the ranchers' wives and husbands, or wives and farmers' wives, or I'm talking to whoever's the boss on the Ponderosa, for the best romantic dinner in Oklahoma, go to the Ranchers Club in Stillwater, on Stillwater campus at OSU. Anyway, it's at the Heatherton, I hope I said that, Heatherton, however you say that, hotel in Oklahoma State University in Stillwater. Josh Barnard is the general manager and highly recommends the filet and finishing the meal with homemade bread pudding. This sets them for amazing here. So anyway, it's going to be cold tomorrow. Some of you guys don't have any excuse not to take your wife and run up to Stillwater, it's not that far, and go to the Ranchers Club. Also, the best veterinarian nomination in Oklahoma was Dr. John Weitzel, and he is in Ada. And everybody just loves the way he treats their animals, whether it's pets or animals. So anyway, they nominated him for the best veterinarian, and this comes from the Rural Electric deals. Then what else we got here? The best garden and nursery center. And man, I'm getting pumped up because gardening season is just around the corner. They have been selected as the best veterinary variety when it comes to best garden and nursery centers. And that is the Sanders Nursery in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So congratulations to those people for your best nominations. Fertilizer industry reacts to the Texas A&M report on product prices. I'm sure you guys have already seen what Texas A&M come out with. It's going to cost farmers and ranchers an extra extra $128,000 a year on the average for more cost of more fertilizer because their input of fertilizer. And this week, Texas A&M Agriculture and Food Policy Center released two reports on the on-farm economics of the current fertilizer market. One report stated is a per-acre basis, farmers are seeing nitrogen costs increase to $52.07 across the farms used in the AFPC modeling. The second report prepared for 21 state corn grower groups cited the cost of natural gas for about 15% of the price increased over the past year. The finding was in contrast to what some in the industry have felt has been an overstatement, attributing to higher fertilizer product pricing to the sole increase in natural gas. Well, it's not true. Nutrien denied it all, and they said it's inflation. Cost natural gas, of course, was in there. Hurricane Ida caused troubles, and they just been having all kinds of dudes. Bottom line, after all this, they wrote in there saying that basically natural gas is one of the big factors. So Texas A&M one line. You guys have an awesome weekend. God bless. It's Day in Ag on 96.5 KECL.
This is KECO, Elk City.
A A bridge to America. Elisa Brady, Fox News. After two of his top priorities hit roadblocks in Congress, President Biden is highlighting upcoming